Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.
Welcome to the Thanksgiving edition of the Athletic Fantasy Football Podcast. Maybe one of several Thanksgiving editions, but this is the one with Chris Vaccaro, quote-unquote friend of mine. How's it going, man?
Quote-unquote? I mean, is our friendship on the rocks, Nando? Is there something that you want to talk about? You want to get off your chest? Is there something that I'm not aware of?
No, I think
mean,
we're
that's
pals,
a pretty
right?
weird introduction, but hey. I guess you got to get something off your chest. Feel
it's
free.
It's more like I'm not sure anymore. But anyway, if you're solid, I'm solid.
I'm solid. Yeah. I'm good. Not too solid fantasy-wise, Nando. It was a bad week. 11 for me. So this might be a little bit of an hour of therapy session between two old pals.
I would like that a lot.
Let's do it.
Yeah. Brandon Marianne Lee is traveling for the holiday. She's not going to be here this week. It's not Chris talking over her introduction again. And we do have one important note. There's a Black Friday special, which is running early right now for The Athletic. $1 a month for 12 months. So basically 12 bucks a year. I mean, I've never seen a better... Well, unless you were like a T-Mobile customer a couple of years ago when they were giving away for free. But $1 a month for 12 months for new subscribers. TheAthletic.com/fantasyfootballpod. No code or anything. Just go to that page and you'll get the offer. So happy Thanksgiving, everybody, unless you're Canadian. And let's jump into it. All right, so on that Thanksgiving note, Vaccaro, let's jump into these games. I know you, and I've known you for a while, and I think I'm safe to say, like, if you could rank your birthday, Christmas, and Thanksgiving, it would be Thanksgiving, like, number one by a mile, and then everything else.
You do know me, my friend.
Oh, yeah, I know you well, man.
It's my favorite day of the year.
But can you still enjoy it with these games?
Oh, it's testing me this year, that's for sure. You know, I always look at the Thanksgiving games like when the schedule comes out because, like I said, I look forward to this day. And, you know, it didn't look great then and it looks way worse now. And we still keep getting the lines, which I am in the school of, you know, you hear people complain that, during this week every year about, why do they give us the Lions? I'm fine with that. The tradition of the Detroit Lion game. I'm fine with all that. It's just I hope for some good games. Once we get to Thanksgiving Day, and this Lions-Bears game is a stinker. You know, I feel like we either have the Lions backup quarterback in or a third stringer every year or a winless Lions team.
The matchup isn't that great. All of them this year. Congratulations.
Yeah, you got everything this year. For me, though, Thanksgiving takes a real hit with this year with the Cowboy game. That was the game I was looking forward to these last couple weeks. Heavy ownership on the Cowboys side. I thought this would be a good fantasy game. And now, you know, what happens? CeeDee Lamb is looking iffy with the concussion that he got on Sunday. Cooper's already out. Zeke is banged up. And all of a sudden, this game doesn't look as good as it did last week. So, collectively, the games are ugly, but I'm still going to enjoy the day.
You know, the Bills are in a tailspin. Saints are a mess.
Shockingly.
Yeah.
Nando, shockingly, that's one of the biggest surprises for me is what this Bills team's doing. You know, we've talked about it on the past, how I love this Bills team to go to the Super Bowl. And I was just shocked this past week of what Jonathan Taylor and the Colts did to them in their own building. And their schedule is pretty tough going ahead, the Bills. So if they don't go into New Orleans on Thanksgiving night and get a win, I believe the following week they're playing the Patriots. That game could be for if the Patriots keep staying on a roll, they might be looking at a 2 or 3 game lead over the Bills in this division, and the Bills might be in serious playoff scramble mode. So
the Bills
lot
are still,
going on.
If you look at Super Bowl winning odds, mm-hmm. Partners at BetMGM, the Bills are still 850 plus 8, so 8.5 to 1, so it's 17 to 2. To win the Super Bowl, behind only the Bucks, the Chiefs, and the Cardinals, and they're tied with the Rams.
Yeah, Vegas is still buying in, but you know, you look up, they're 6-4, and It's starting to get a little dicey. I'm not jumping off the bandwagon yet. I still think this Bills team is going to the Super Bowl. They just got to figure some stuff out on offense. They have no run game. Zach Moss disappeared, where it looked like a couple weeks ago people were, you know, buying back in on the Zach Moss hype. They have no run game. They're putting it all on Josh Allen's shoulders, and, you know, it's just not working.
Is Allen, and I don't know, is Allen still unvaccinated? Remember he was unvaccinated in the spring? Like, there's still a shot that he could be knocked out for a couple games, too, if he, you know, goes to an unfortunate shopping mall or something.
I mean, Debbie Downer over here, huh?
I'm just wondering,
Nando,
Chris,
I mean, you're talking about, I don't know his vaccination status, Nando.
I thought you would. You actually seems like something you would know. Yeah.
No. Sorry.
All right, anyway. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so him against Trevor Siemian should be a banger at the end of the night.
You know, the Saints are just one of those teams, Nando, that I just can't stomach watching for more than like 2 minutes at a time. I just, there's a certain handful of teams now where we're heading into week 12 that it's just like, oh God, when they, you know, their game is on, I just don't want to watch them. We watched it last night with the New York Giants.
Oh,
they're,
man,
painful to watch. Just a painful offense to watch. I don't know if you saw the clip this morning of Dan Orlovsky sent out. I actually retweeted it.
I saw it when you retweeted it with your emojis.
Oh, my God. It's embarrassing. You know, the three receivers all in the same place banging into each other. It's a comedy show. I'm shocked that Jason Garrett still has his job this morning. But the Giants, just despicable, despicable offense week after week.
I can't. And I mean, this is still fresh. You kind of knew the Giants were going to be the best team. Mm-hmm. But you look at the players and you're like, that could be entertaining. You know, Daniel Jones can run. Kenny Galladay's there. Kadarius Toney's going to be awesome to watch. Saquon Barkley's electric. And even if he got hurt, like, you know, fine. Devontae Booker, whatever, whatever. There's Evan Ingram, mm-hmm. you know, 100 targets a year, basically, when he's playing healthy with Daniel Jones. And it's just like,
There's nothing.
Yeah.
There's nothing. And pretty much everybody besides Barkley going forward. I want to say Kadarius Toney, but even he's, you know, he's 7-for-40 last night. But by the way, what a cannon of an arm this guy's got. Oh, my God. They should make him throw 10 times a game instead of Daniel Jones, who's garbage, too. I'm just so down on that team as a Giants fan. But fantasy-wise, I thought the same thing you did. I thought that this team could be fantasy-friendly and might be in some shootouts, and they have the pieces, and nothing. Kenny Galladay's been a complete bust of a signing. Can't use him, can't use Evan Ingram. So it's just Barkley. It was good to see him back out there last night. He kept coming out of the game, looking at that ankle a little bit. I was worried there at one point in the third quarter that he might have re-aggravated it, but I think he got out of the game okay. So going forward, he's a low-end RB1, I would say. I'd put him in that 10 to 12 range going forward. But it's other than him, you know, it's ugly.
Depressing. How bad are your teams? I mean, I know you're upset that you lost a lot this week, but I mean, are you still like 7-4?
How bad are my teams? No, no, I mean, I'm like, having, listen,
you're
I'm
like
having
7-4,
a great fantasy.
8-3? Yeah, you're just mad about 1 week.
No. Listen, there's 3 weeks left before we hit the playoffs. I'm having a very solid fantasy season in my high stakes leagues. I have a lot of teams that are right there in first to second place. But that can change week to week. I did have a bad week this past week, which really hurt me because it either knocked me out of first place in certain big leagues or just low points where I was contending in a top three spot, which is what you need to be in the high stakes playoffs. So this week definitely set me back where I was in great position in a lot of leagues, a majority of my leagues, to go to the playoffs. This was a step back, and now, you know, the pressure's on these last 3 weeks. I have to get my wins and I have to get points and I got to keep rolling. But, you know, roster wise, my teams are solid. I've avoided this year more than ever before, you know, duds of picks in draft season. And it was just, you know, we talked about it last week, Nando, and it happened again this week. The quarterback position for a third week in a row in fantasy murdered people. And I know it murdered me, you know, as a big Dak Prescott owner. His 4 points was terrible. And, you know, as a Stafford and Kyler Murray owner, with them not available, I had to go to different backups, and I rolled out Justin Fields in a handful of lineups. That was a disaster.
Yeah, I had a few of him.
Yeah, Daniel Jones, I even had a plug in thinking, all right, you know, he's got to keep up with Tampa. He's good for 20 points, especially as a running quarterback. He was a bust. But look at across everything. You know, Joe Burrow didn't put up good numbers. Tannehill in a good spot was bad. Pat Mahomes busted again. And we could go on and on. But the quarterback position, fantasy-wise, there was only three or four good ones this past week.
I'm done with Daniel. I'm dropping Daniel Jones.
Oh, you're finally getting off the Daniel Jones train, huh, buddy?
Oh, look, man, I guess it's, you know, I had a little bit of faith that maybe, just maybe, with Saquon back and Kenny Golladay back, like, oh, yeah, here we go. Here's the Daniel Jones game plan. Let's go. No. And it's just not, like, they're just so out of sync. It's just, you can't even blame the offensive line anymore. It's just like they're not, you know.
The Giants offensive line's been a lot better. And as a Giant fan, the kid Thomas, our top five overall pick from last year, who had a terrible rookie year, man, he bounced back. He caught the touchdown last night and looked so athletic. It was unbelievable play. It was the only highlight of the Giants last night. But he's living up to the hype again. He'll be a cornerstone for the next, you know, 8-10 years. So that was actually good to see that he's a legit piece on the line. But, you know, Daniel Jones, drop him, Nando. By the way, how did your winless team do this past week?
Well, the good news is we broke 100 points.
And the bad news is?
We did not win. We lost by 40.
40?
Yeah, we had a bad opponent this week. We actually have the most points scored against us. I got a C+ from Yahoo for my week 11 results, though.
Oh, and that's all we live for in life is getting grades from Yahoo.
We lost by 75.
Oh, so you were in it right there.
Yeah, he almost doubled me up. Who did
he
have?
Jonathan Taylor, Rogers, or Eckler combination?
He had Taylor, McLaurin, Brady, Connor. Those were his top four. Mine were Devontae Adams, Darren Waller, Dustin Hopkins, and Josh Jacobs. So there you go, man.
All right, buddy. Keep tracking. You're 3 weeks away from the Holy Grail. I'm rooting for you.
Let me tell you, are you rooting for me to go winless, or are you rooting for me to get a win?
No, I'm totally rooting for you to go winless. I want 0-14 for you.
I got Devontae Adams, Robbie Anderson. On the bench, I had Marquez Valdes-Scantling. Where are you at him?
Oh.
Can you start him and Devontae Adams the same week? Can you do that?
Funny enough, listen, and for the people that you know are loyal readers of mine, I apologize for not having an article out last week. Life caught up with me.
No remorse. There was no remorse.
No. I'm just saying, but I would have wrote, you know, my section of the article where I put sleepers of the week at each position. MVS would have been my guy, and I rolled him out in my biggest league.
Everyone believes you.
Yeah, that's fine. You know what? I could screenshot my teams that I rolled out MVS this past week and thought he was in a good spot with Alan Lazard out. MVS, I didn't expect 24 fantasy points in PPR. I was hoping for, you know, 12 to 14, but I lucked out on a heavy bye week. He was actually my Cooper Kupp replacement in a handful of leagues. So that worked out perfectly. It was like I didn't even lose Cooper Kupp for the week. So MVS filled in nicely, but he's not somebody you could rely on week after week.
By the way, I told myself and I wrote in a Word file privately on my computer that people should take the money line on the Texans last week.
Yes.
Yeah, and I'll screenshot it and send it to you too if you'd like.
Yes, you do that.
Yeah, I'll get on that. Beller, hey, you know who called it? Beller called it in his upset column. Beller's going on a roll. Beller's like 80.
Oh, good for you, Beller. Yeah.
80 and that's 56 good. Or something crazy like that.
You know what? I feel, you know, not to poo-poo on Beller, because shout out to Beller for putting that in print. But, you know, I have a couple big Survivor Leagues, and I avoided taking the Titans. It was the perfect spot, and I'm sure he felt the same way making that pick. It was the perfect letdown spot. You know, the whole team is banged up. They came off about 4 or 5 straight weeks of beating like really good competition. The Texans were coming off their bye. It was just the perfect storm of either the Titans are going to get through this game and win, you know, by a couple points, or it was just a major letdown spot for the Titans and a perfect storm. And that's what we've been seeing the last 3 weeks. Really good teams lay an egg in certain spots that we didn't see coming. And sure enough, the Titans did it again this week.
Nick Westbrook-Ikhine is back in the mix now.
Your
nice.
Boy.
Oh, he's your boy too, actually. I think you actually said you liked him 1 week. You did say 1 week you liked him.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but I mean, it's impossible to predict the Titans' wide receivers here. Everybody ran to the wire and spent for Marcus Johnson. And, he pulls that hammy early in the game, gives everybody the zero that they were looking for. A.J. Brown, this guy's just killing me all year long. It's either down performances. He had that nice 2-3 week stretch, a couple weeks back where it was like finally he's going to be that legit top 10 receiver rest of the season. And now he's let us down again with another couple injuries, and who knows if he plays this week, but just one of those seasons that's just not working out for us A.J. Brown owners.
Well, it happens, man. I mean, at least you're not – I'm sure you are, because you were hyping up Jonathan Taylor. You're talking about him a lot publicly in print before the season started. I was thinking about the buys. Jonathan Taylor's on a bye in week 14, man.
Yeah.
You're not screwed, but I mean, like, it's going to suck if you're staring that down. You're 7-6.
Yeah, it really is. And that's why, I mean, we all complained about this week 14 bye week for, teams. And some people, that was a reason for them to not fade Jonathan Taylor, but just go elsewhere in the first round. Like, I don't want to get to week 14, need the win to win my league or get in the playoffs, and Jonathan Taylor isn't there or any other Colt. But you're seeing now that was not the right move to make. Jonathan Taylor is an absolute beast, an absolute stud, the number one fantasy player to have this year and going forward rest of season. An absolute stud. I wouldn't trade him for not one player in fantasy.
Oh, you know what I want to do in the next couple of weeks? Mm-hmm. I mean, trade deadline's gone. You don't really talk about start sitting some of these studs. But remember last year when we did the mock draft of the first round?
For the following season?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, we could do that down the stretch. Absolutely.
Chris, DFS, you still do that at all?
I put in one or two lineups in the Millie Maker every week. That's it. I haven't really focused in on DFS.
I love Thanksgiving DFS. That's when I think, like, I don't do
it. I do play that. I do every year play, that the Turkey Bowl slate for that. The NFFC has a really good tournament play that they're running this year. It's $100 entry and $5,000 grand prize, and you got to pick a starting lineup from the six games, and you have to have at least one player from each team, and then you get to fill out the rest of your roster. So check that out at NFFC.
Who's your quarterback?
I'm gonna go with Dak.
Yeah.
I'm going to stick with Dak just because I don't think you could look at that Lions-Bears game, and I'm not using Simeon from the Saints. So Dak and Josh Allen.
Simeon's had a couple good games.
Yeah, so he put up surprisingly good numbers, a lot of garbage time points.
Garbage time counts.
Sure does. I just don't see them doing it versus the Bills' defense. Not that the Bills' defense has been great, but I think that Bills' team bounces back this week,
Oh, why, man? Like, isn't this the second time they've laid an egg in the last 3 weeks, basically?
Yeah, I still, there's certain teams that you just believe in, Nando, and that's going to be mine. I could be totally wrong on this as the season goes on, but I'm sticking with the Bills, both offensively and defensively. I think they figure it out and figure out a way to, get to the playoffs and, get to the Super Bowl.
Well, you are one of the best players I know, so.
Oh, thank you, Nando.
That's it. You're welcome.
Are you a big Thanksgiving guy, Nando?
Yeah. Who isn't?
I mean, there's a lot of people that, they prefer are the holidays or Thanksgiving's just like another day or,
No, I like it. I like it a lot.
You're a big turkey stuffing guy?
We'll tell you what. So my great uncle, was a chef up in Syracuse.
Mm-hmm.
He had this dressing. I guess stuffing goes inside the turkey and dressings on the outside. Mm-hmm. He's got this dressing recipe that I tried a couple years ago and, failed miserably. I added some salt where I shouldn't have. So this year I tried, for the last few weeks, I've been messing around with stuff and I think I've made a really amazing dressing, based on his recipe, and then I added a couple of things. So I'm very excited.
Oh, this is, yeah, give me an update on that, all right?
I'll send it to you. Shout out to Cafasso's in Fort Lee for their sausage, which is really making it sing.
There you go. Maybe they'll sponsor it. Maybe they'll be another sponsor of the show next week now with their shout out. Speaking of disappointment.
I wouldn't ask them to do that.
Well, how disappointing was that Cowboys-Chiefs game? Was, I mean, as messed up as things have been in fantasy and in the NFL these last 3 weeks, I think no bigger surprise was there and has there been than that Cowboys-Chiefs game that had a total of 57 in Vegas. We were expecting fireworks on both sides of the ball, and then everything went completely opposite in a 19-9 stinker with zero touchdown passes between two stud quarterbacks and Zeke Elliott bombing. Just terrible. Just a terrible, terrible letdown of a fantasy game, which I feel like is very, you know, it's the trend. Every time there's a hyped up fantasy game, it's never lives up to the hype this year.
There have been a couple early. You know what it was? I think it was early. Maybe, I don't know, man. I don't know what's going on. Maybe people are kind of like, we got that extra game. Let's not exhaust ourselves. That's how we got Wayne Gallman as the most added player when they used him pretty hardcore at the end of the game when they knew they had a Thursday turnaround and he didn't do anything in the game. I mean, the coach even told us that was going to happen, but maybe people are laying off the gas a little bit just because they know they got to extend themselves for another game.
I don't know about that.
All right, well, let's hear your theory that you.
No, there is no theory. I mean, the Chiefs aren't playing Thursday, so I mean, they could. Why would they lay an egg? Dallas, I'm sure, didn't go in there and say.
Chiefs have been a mess all year.
Yeah, but then they got back on track last Sunday versus the Raiders, and Mahomes, you know, throwing for 400 yards and 5 touchdowns, and everybody was like, "All right, the king is back." And then this week happened, and it looked like, a mess again. But good to see Clyde Edwards-Helaire out there. It looked like he just came back and took back over the backfield. And, I guess rest in peace, Darrell Williams. It was a nice little run for us Darrell Williams owners that stuck him in, and he produced nicely for a solid month. But when they come out of the bye in week 12 – I think you could view Clyde Edwards-Helaire as a solid RB2.
If things go right for him and the Chiefs can fix what ails them, you think he could sneak into back end RB1 territory? I mean,
that's stretching it. I'll leave him in that 12 to 16 range rest of the season.
I got some questions I want to ask you about some players who.
Let's do it.
Rex Burkhead.
Pass.
Go. Yeah, completely.
Yeah, I mean, great. 18 carries for what, 19 yards? I mean, it was embarrassing.
18 carries.
18 carries, which you can't ignore. You're right. I'm not going to, dismiss you and that. But, David Johnson, I believe, had 14 carries as well. Another team that you want to kind of avoid if you're desperate. Yeah, you could go one of those routes and hold your nose. But, 18 carries, 40 yards. Disgusting. They do have the Jets here. Everybody runs on the Jets. So desperation play only, but I'm not signing off on that one.
Who? How about Dontrell Hilliard?
Nope.
Really?
No, and that's another backfield that's frustrating. Everybody, it's what do you do? I went to Deontay Foreman this past week, your boy.
Our boy.
And got let down. And, it's a mix and match. They still got AP out there. And, McNichols was out with a concussion. I expect him to be back. So, it's just all over the place.
I don't know. It just seems like he's McNichols now. It seems like he's a little bit of McNichols.
What do you mean? What do you mean now? You think McNichols doesn't come back after his concussion and have a role?
I don't know. It didn't seem like he was doing much before the concussion in this new world order.
Okay.
I don't know. I mean, look.
We've said it a couple. I said it a couple weeks ago about the tie. This team is in a free fall, and they're. I could totally look up and see this team as like a 9-8 when the season ends.
Yeah, you remember when the Titans lost 9 games in a row to end the season? Like one of those.
100%.
Yeah.
And, that's going to be my Survivor pick actually this year, this week, because Survivor's terrible. this week. It's a really, really tough week. And I still have the Patriots available. And who would have thought to go attack, you know, and go after a Titans team that's first in the AFC still, you know, as your survivor pick. But I'm taking the Patriots this week versus the Titans.
Hey, Vaccaro, do you stay away from picking a Thanksgiving Day game? So if they lose, you're not disappointed. Doesn't ruin your favorite day of the year.
Funny you say that, because I was in a big Survivor League last year and I made it to Thanksgiving and I took Dallas and I lost, and it literally ruined my Thanksgiving. I was like, you know what? Never again. That's I will not. I will stay away from that Thanksgiving Day slate for Survivor.
Do you get up at like, you know, you get up in the morning, whatever, saunter downstairs, start picking at the food like 10 a.m. Are you like one of those, like, let me wait until it's ready to go?
Well, there's no food going on in my house as a single bachelor, Nando. I go to my
sisters. I assume you go to your sisters, yeah, your family's.
But when I get there, I'm just ravaging the kitchen.
You don't wait? You're not like, let me just save all this room for the big turkey meal?
I pick a little bit. You know, we put out the antipasta and everything like that early during the Lions game.
You get the good salami? Then, do you go get the, yeah. You get the stuff in the store?
It's all real deal. Come on, we're real deal Italians.
Some people are okay with the stuff you get at the store, the boar's head.
Yeah. We time it perfectly. They know by now, you know, we have a lot of football guys in the family, so... You know, right after the Lions game, we sit down. We have a nice 45 minutes before the Cowboy game starts. It's all timed, executed perfectly.
Do people defer to you? Are they like, hey, this is the football guy? Like,
yeah.
Let him have the good seat.
Yeah, it's based around me.
Mm-hmm. I could see that actually happening.
Yeah.
Cam Newton, startable every week?
Yes, sir.
What a crazy twist.
It is. And you know what? Shout out to Cam for saving a bunch of my teams. You know, I woke up Sunday morning to that Lamar Jackson bombshell. And
we still know what that illness is, right? It's still just illness, right?
Let's talk about what is wrong with this guy. You know, I don't want to make light of it or whatever. I really don't care. But this guy is sick every single week. Like, what is his deal? Like, does he have the sniffles? Is he out? Like, it's not COVID. I feel like he's gotten COVID like 6 times in the last year.
Yeah.
But this isn't COVID related. But these last bunch of weeks, every Tuesday, Wednesday, he's like, Lamar got sent home because he was sick. Lamar's not practicing. He's sick. Then, you know, this hit. And it was like, all right, most of us Lamar Jackson owners were like, he's sick again. Don't worry. He'll still be there on Sunday. And then, you know, the Schefter report on Saturday night, it's 50-50. And then it started getting me worried. I went to the wire on Saturday night just to back myself up. And I went to the wire, and in a couple of leagues earlier in the week, I backed him up with Cam Newton. And Sunday morning hit, I slid in Cam Newton in my Lamar Jackson leagues where I could, and Cam came through. And I think going forward, he's a top 12 fantasy quarterback in my eyes, especially with the running, with the ability to still use his legs.
Do you think NFL players, and I guess athletes in general, are anti-flu vax as much as they are the COVID one? Like, this could have, like, he could have gotten hit by the flu, but you're right. Like, maybe he's got colitis or something. I don't know. I don't want to speculate on Lamar Jackson.
He's got something wrong with it, because he gets sicker than like a 3-year-old child. You know, he gets sick more than a 3-year-old child.
How crushed are you, the Jamal Agnew's out for the season?
Oh, I mean, almost as crushed as you are. And that offense is another team that's just anemic to look at. Here's a little fantasy tidbit. I was talking to my friend the other day because I'm watching that Niners-Jags game. We got to start looking at who the Niners are playing and kind of fade them and not play them if we have other options, because it's frustrating watching San Francisco 49ers games, because this team bleeds the clock like nobody's business. You know, they start the game, they just are chain moving offense. They went on like a 10-minute drive to start the game. They keep the ball out of the other team's hands where the time of possession is like 40-20. It's just bad. Jacksonville didn't touch the ball. Their offense didn't get on the field until like 4 minutes left in the first quarter. And, you know, not that Jacksonville's offense, you're going to them for, you know, offensive goodness, fantasy goodness, but My God, San Francisco does a hell of a job keeping the ball out of other teams' hands.
Good for them, right? Hold on, I'll pull up their schedule right now and tell you who they're playing the rest of the year.
By the way, Brandon Ayuk.
Yeah, well, he's on the.
Ayuk is firmly back in the in fantasy owners' good graces. Whoever the owner is in each league that went for a dollar and scooped him up off waivers when the original owner dropped him. That's working out pretty damn well for you, because I know I saw Ayuk getting dropped all over the high stakes community, and rightfully so, when he was an absolute zero and, you know, every week barely playing and not contributing and in Shanahan's doghouse. But now you could go to him and look at him as a solid wide receiver two or three in this offense. And we said it before, it's because there's limited targets in this offense. You know, it's Debo, who's like a glorified running back now.
That's crazy.
Which is crazy, but, you know, still an absolute fantasy stud.
Like, can you tell me, Debo Samuel is a better... Because, you know, the problem with these young guys, and the Shanahan was saying, and who else was saying it about why their rookie running back isn't playing, but it's like pass protection, you got to do all these things, you got to play special teams, whatever. Mm-hmm. So Debo Samuel is a better pass protector than Trey Sermon, basically. Which I think you have to assume, right?
Yeah, I mean, just knowing the offense better, obviously Debo knows it way better than, you know, the rookie Trey Sermon. But
why would Sermon you ever go to a college?
Fit, Sermon just doesn't fit Shanahan's system. You know, like an Elijah Mitchell does, or a Jeff Wilson does. So maybe it's just not going to work out. I mean, it's too early to tell. He's a rookie, but it just looks like he was drafted by the wrong team and the wrong system. So it's a wasted year for Trey Sermon. We'll see what happens going into his second year.
3 weeks ago, we were saying it's a wasted year for Brandon Ayuk, and he's the new he's the new Dante Pettis.
Yeah, God,
poor guy's on IR.
Did you leave him on your team, or did you drop Dante Pettis finally?
No, I put him on IR. Well, it's not going to hurt anybody. Why not?
Why is he even on your team?
I don't know. Maybe when he goes looks himself up on Yahoo, there's one team that owns me. That's great. I feel good about life.
That's good. So you're boosting his confidence.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah.
That's nice of you.
Here's the 49ers' remaining schedule. Vikings in week 12.
Great game, by the way. That's a big-time game. Not to stop you right there, but I like this Vikings team.
All right.
No, I mean, like, game-wise, because if you look at this upcoming week's schedule, we have the three games on Thanksgiving, so the Sunday schedule is going to be condensed, and you're not going to have, you know, a 9-1 o'clock games like we just had this past week. You look at the early games, and they're all garbage. There's really only one or two decent games. The 4 o'clock schedule this upcoming week, again, there's only three games. But they're all really good games. And that Vikings-Niners game, you have two offenses and two teams that are on the rise, and they're getting back into playoff contention. You could look at it as like a fantasy, and not a fantasy, a real-life eliminator for two 5-5 teams. And two teams that I think if you get in, if they sneak in, one of them's going to sneak in as the 6 or 7 seed in the NFC. You know, I don't think anybody's going to want to see them.
But this game itself isn't going to be great, right? Because like you just said, San Francisco milks the clock. Or can Minnesota prevent them from doing that?
Yeah, it could. You know, Minnesota's going to have to get up early on them. And I think that's probably the only way you're going to change the Niners' game script. But the Niners like to, you know, run it, run some more. Get yourself into a 3rd and 1 or 2. Move the chains. Start the chains all over again. Keep that clock running. Let's run it again with Wilson or Mitchell. Nice short pass to Kittle. Like, it's just one of those offenses that you just look up. The clock is running. They're keeping the other team's offense off the field. But listen, Jefferson, by the way, Justin Jefferson, what an absolute stud. That was a miss for me in fantasy season. I was an A.J. Brown and Terry McLaurin at the end of second round over Justin Jefferson, where the three of them were basically sitting there in every draft. As well as CeeDee Lamb, that was my other guy. But I went with Brown, McLaurin, and Lamb every single time over Jefferson. I didn't diversify to Jefferson at all, and that was a wrong move. Not that the other three guys aren't working out besides Brown, but Jefferson was definitely a great fantasy pick at the end of that second round this year. And, Cousins is a solid fantasy quarterback. as well. You know, I wonder what this offense would have looked like with a nice move tight end in Irv Smith if he didn't go down, because this is a really nice offense to watch week in and week out.
You know, it takes a big man to admit he's wrong.
Hey, listen, I get pissed off when fantasy analysts and people in our industry don't acknowledge, you know, their misses. That bothers me more than anything. And you know, the people that only want to, you know, pound their chest and say, oh, I was right on that. I was my guy. That was my pick. I hate that, because nobody in this industry is going to be right all
the
time.
Who are you referring to on that?
Do you really want me to drop names? Because no. I will. You know I will.
I know.
I know.
Yeah,
I know.
Let's keep it nice.
Okay, John Hansen. Okay.
Oh. Any more?
All right. Yeah, we could keep going, but I'll just stop at that one.
All right, the rest of the 49ers schedule after the Vikings are the Seahawks and then the Bengals in week 14.
Say it again. I'm sorry. That broke up. Go ahead, Nanda. What is
The Seahawks and then the Bengals.
Seahawks, what a disaster. Oh, my God. Right. That was another quarterback. You know, I talked about quarterbacks before. Russell Wilson's in trouble, man. I don't know. Yeah, I'm sure we could blame it on the finger. None of us are going to really know how he's dealing with that finger, but that's his two duds of a game in a row. His schedule does open up a little bit. He gets Washington this week on Monday Night Football. And if you're a Russ Wilson owner, I think you're taking a hard look in the mirror this week as you go into this week. I don't know if you're in contention, if the rest of your fantasy team's been carrying you as a Russell Wilson owner, but it has not been a solid fantasy season as a Russ Wilson owner.
As someone who loves Geno Smith, I can tell you that it's the offense. It's not Russell Wilson.
Maybe.
They're so frustrating the way they play the game. But anyway.
And I'm dropping Rashad Penny. That was one of my pickups in these last month. Acquiring a lot of Rashad Penny shares. But, you know, another hamstring issue now. Again, it's just this guy's brittle. I'm not dealing with it. Tomorrow night in Fab, I'll be dumping all my Rashad Penny shares.
Is that a free move out of frustration for you? Like, okay, I'm done with Penny. Let me find someone else. Or is that like, I got someone. Penny's the guy that's definitely going to go.
There might be a couple guys. Ty Johnson. I'd be trying to acquire him this week. A couple others like that. But
would you go to DJ Dallas? Is that a move?
DJ Dallas, not bad. You know, him, Travis Homer, guys that can contribute in PPR leagues going forward. But I'd pick up either of those two guys over Rashad Penny.
Yeah, Rashad Penny. Let's
real bummer with our guy Michael Carter, by the way, Nando, right? I know we're trying to hit on as many teams and players here, but real bummer, Michael Carter goes down with what they're saying is a kind of a high ankle sprain. He's going to miss 2 to 3 weeks, knocks you out for the rest of the fantasy regular season. But Carter was really having a solid second half of his rookie season, and now we're not going to have him rest of the way. If the Jets give Tevin Coleman the majority of the shares, I'm going to be sick to my stomach.
you are like just so weirdly against the idea of Tevin Coleman.
Yeah, it's just we there's no reason to go to Tevin Coleman. You're the Jets. It's you're not going anywhere. You know what? What's the point of giving Coleman the shares? Why? Nobody goes in. No NFL team, I don't think, goes into the week and goes, I want to lose this week, but. Yeah. You know, there's nothing to see. You got to develop your younger players when you're a bad team going nowhere. And at worst, even if they don't produce well, you take a loss, you get a higher draft pick. It should be Ty Johnson. Just turn it over, turn the backfield over now for these 2-3 weeks to Ty Johnson.
All right. I hope they're listening.
I hope so too. Wait, I just want to bring this in. I'm looking at spreads, and usually in my article I put out my bet of the week, and I'm looking. I've been fascinated with this game since the last couple days as we head in to see what the spread is. It's the game of the week, the Rams and the Packers. I absolutely love the Rams going into Lambeau and winning this game at a pick'em. Bell, are you behind that by any chance? I don't know if he can chime in on this one. I know he's the gambling guy, but...
I sure can chime in.
The Rams.
Yeah, I can chime in on that. Yeah. I like the Rams too. It's probably a stay away for me, to be honest. We'll see what's going on with both Stafford and Rodgers as this week progresses. If I were forced to pick it though, I like the Rams coming out of a bye. Sean McVay, good coach out of a bye. Yeah. I think they can get things going. I worry a little bit about how central Robert Woods was to everything they did offensively, not just his literal catches, but like everything he did for them in the run game, one of the best blocking receivers in the NFL, got a few carries himself. I think they can find ways to replicate that. I think they can find ways to make up for that deficiency elsewhere by getting Van Jefferson maybe a little bit more involved, Van Jefferson in the DeSean Jackson, his role plus the DeSean Jackson role. So I like the Rams having to pick, but with the way those two teams are going, really like both of those teams, it's probably a stay away for me.
Okay. All right. I see it a little differently. I think this is a really good spot. The Packers with their one eye on the bye week, the following week, knowing they're in a good spot, having their division looking like they're going to cruise to their division win. And Rodgers with this toe issue, their offensive line, the kid Jenkins just getting knocked out for the year, that he still don't have Bakhtiari. I think this is a real bad mismatch where Donald can disrupt this game. And Rodgers and the rest of the Packers looking to get into the bye week to rest up for their stretch run. Rams coming off their bye week, 2 weeks to prepare for this game. McVay without Jaire Alexander still in the secondary. I don't know when he's coming back, but I just see this all as a perfect storm for the Rams, and I think the line is telling you that with it being a pick 'em. So we'll see. Anyway, Nando, what else we got, buddy? We got to hit on a lot of stuff.
I think you should do the reads next week. But are you putting a column in?
Say that again?
I absolutely am.
The column will be out tomorrow.
Oh, will it?
I will be doing the column tonight. It will be out tomorrow for our Thanksgiving spectacular. I'll be talking about Thanksgiving and the rest of the games. I'm sure I'll be talking about the Rams and the Packers game of the week. And that's it. I'll expect another 5:30 in the morning text from you, probably saying something about the article that I send in. And
what do you want me to do at 5:30 in the morning?
I don't know. Maybe you'll be, who knows, you know, because you would never send 5:30 in the morning text to me. Saying nothing, right?
Oh, you sent some pretty late texts to me. So when I read it at 5:30, I'm like, oh, hey, here's your reply, friend.
Just so the people at home know what we're talking about, I asked him something about today's show. I think the text was at like 9:45 last night.
It was at
night.
Like 10:48.
I don't know about that. It was definitely before 11 p.m. And I heard my phone buzz because I was stupid enough to forget to keep it on on silent last night, and I said, who's buzzing my phone? And I look over, it's 5:30 in the morning, and Nando sending me meaningless text. So
it wasn't
anyway,
meaningless.
People don't want to hear this. They want to hear fantasy goodness, so let's get back to it, Nando.
It was at 10:35 p.m., and it was no rundown?
Okay.
Oh, and then there was another one right after that. Who is M. Goodwin on Chicago for me?
Yeah, okay.
That was a weird one.
Keep dreaming. Keep dreaming. That's great.
But Judy Blume did not write How to Eat Fried Worms, by the way. I already closed the window, so I don't remember who it was. Like James Rockwell was his name.
God.
Did you ever have Scholastic Book Fairs, Chris?
Come on, Nando.
All right, let's get to a couple more things before we have to wrap this up. You know, I know Rondale Moore is off this week, but seeing what happened last night with Tony, you know, if you're playing with end of roster spots, like if you're ready to just, all right, let's not use Penny because it's a different position. But if you just had a spot and you're in some world where you had to choose between these two, and I put up Kadarius Tony versus Rondale Moore, who do you think is going to have a better rest of season?
Tony or Rondale Moore? Give me Kadarius Tony easily. Rest of the way.
All
yeah,
right.
Because they're going to, you know, the Cardinals are going to come out of their bye. DeAndre Hopkins will fully expect to be back in this offense. Rondale Moore will go back to probably playing less than 50% of the snaps. Kadarius Toney shouldn't leave the field going forward. I know Shepard was out last night, but, you know, they're crazy if they keep their first round pick off the field down the stretch here, you know, as a losing team. So, you know, it's Tony over Rondale Moore for me. And speaking of Moores, let's go to my boy Elijah Moore. And you see that segue? You see that segue, Nando, how I do it?
Yeah, it's pretty good.
I'm really picking up on this, you know, stuff. Elijah Moore, he's finally coming into his own, what we all hope for, drafting him. This is, you know, a bunch of good weeks in a row. Blow-up game, ran 80% of snaps. No reason to see it going down, going forward. Another guy that shouldn't leave the field. keep Elijah Moore in your starting lineup rest of the season. I think that you know, that draft spot on the board in August is finally going to pay off down the stretch, and that is the definition of a league winner, Elijah Moore, rest of season.
It's impressive he's done that with all those different quarterbacks too.
Yes. Yeah, and I don't even know which quarterback is the guy I want in there for my Elijah Moore shares, to be honest, because, you know, Flacco got it done. Flacco's got his eye for him. Even Mike White had, you know, an eye for him. But, you know, Zach Wilson's probably coming back, if not this week, in another week. And that might be the quarterback I want to see the least out of the three of them.
You seem like a Flacco guy.
That sounds, no, I mean, let's be honest. That's definitely one of your guys. That's it. That's a Nando type of guy.
Why? No, that doesn't actually make sense at all. He doesn't run. I like mine to run. Thanks.
Into the ground.
Like, you haven't paid attention to anything we've talked about over the years.
You don't even know me, friend. Maybe this is why our friendship is on the rocks, like you said in the beginning.
Oh,
of the show.
I know why it's on the rocks. I don't want to bring our real life into this. Into the show, because you get upset.
It's so. Because you send 5:30 texts to me. That's why.
That's not why.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
You should get up early one day, man. It's a whole new world.
yeah.
There's a channel called Discovery Kids that shows old Transformers and G.I. Joe cartoons.
Jesus.
Been watching a lot of those.
Mm-hmm.
And then I could probably tell you, like, who my all-star newscasters are from New York now.
Nando. Nando.
Yeah, what's up?
Stick to fantasy.
I asked a question. I started to ask, is Trevor Lawrence a bust? And you brought up our friendship on the rocks.
100%. Yeah, because I just say it once, and you take it a whole nother direction into like a 5-minute discussion about what newscasters you watch at 5 a.m. Anyway, Trevor Lawrence is a bust. So is the whole offense. your boy Jamal Agnew is gone now. Is there going to be life for you LaVisca Chenault truthers out there? I don't know, but I know he better start, you know, going to find Dan Arnold again. Our boy took a 0 on 0 targets this past week, where I had him in a lot of my lineups, and it was painful, you know, seeing that 0 across a lot of my rosters this week. There's no reason that Dan Arnold shouldn't be getting targeted 8 to 10 times every week.
You know who played 26% of snaps last week?
Tavon Austin.
Tavon Austin did, yeah.
There he is. Well, I mean, there's life for him again now, huh, Nando?
No. On that note, let's wrap it up. We gotta go. We've done a good hour of friendship and advice.
Sure.
Yeah?
Yeah, happy Thanksgiving to all our listeners.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. As Chris said, enjoy your holiday, please. Have fun. Hope it's one of your top two, like all of us here. And hopefully this advice helped. And don't pick a Thanksgiving team in your survivor pool if you want your day ruined. So that's all we got.
Well, you know what? Wait. I know you got another. Pick the night game. Pick the Bills Saints game. So the day's already over. So there you go.
All right, there you go. And don't forget the Black Friday special here at The Athletic. I already forgot the code. I think it's fantasyfootballpod. TheAthletic.com/fantasyfootballpod. Just rewind to the start of the show.
It is.
There you go. Thank you. All right, everybody. Thanks a lot. Enjoy your holidays. We'll talk to you later. Bye.